Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 160 for the March 2021 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. Now, the way we figure out if they're interesting is we've got an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you love as often as you can, because again, that's how we pick what's interesting. So, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and I mean that literally, thousands of items. And it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. As always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. We'll start with Image, go through Dark Horse, then we'll jump over to the DC Connect, then we'll go through the other publishers. When we hit that two-page ad for Marvel, we'll jump over to the Marvel previews, and then we'll just keep going through. Now, obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page by page or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and again, the highlights are picked by people like you. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 26 of the previews catalog, and it is the previews catalog. Now, in this case, the one for a couple of months out for the May 2021 comics. Again, I like being able to go through and see what's coming out from the different publishers and determine where I want to spend my money, spend my time. Now, if you don't want to go pay for the previews catalog, and I understand it if you don't, it is available online at previewsworld.com. All that information is there. I just find it a little more convenient to have a physical catalog to kind of work my way through and get some sample pages of what the preview art is and stuff. It's just more convenient for me. But either way, it is a pre-order business, and it's worth checking out what's coming, just so you don't miss stuff that you're interested in. And hopefully these episodes help you find stuff. So like I said, my first pick is on page 26 of the previews catalog, and it is the previews catalog.
Hi guys, it's Chris Myers from Troy, New York, with some picks from this month's previews for the preview spotlight. I'm going to start in the Image Comics section with The Good Asian number 1 of 9. It's written by Pornsak Pichote with art by Alexandre Tefenji. I hope I pronounced those right. It's going to be in stores on May 5th. It's 40 pages, $3.99. Image has made it a gem of the month, saying that contemporary topics of race and immigration are explored through a crime noir storytelling lens. It takes place in 1936 Chinatown, and we are following Edison Hark, a haunted, self-loathing Chinese-American detective on the trail of a killer. The Good Asian is Chinatown noir, starring the first generation of Americans to come of age under an immigration ban. The Chinese, as they're besieged by rampant murders, abusive police, and a world seemingly never changes. I really enjoyed the movie Chinatown with Jack Nicholson way back, I think it was in the 70s. And this, probably because it's crime noir and that was also, just gives me the same sense. So I think this may be worth checking out. On to my next pick. Hi guys, I'm still in the Image section. This is a new number one by Declan Shelby and Rory McConville called Time Before Time. It's a science fiction crime story. The year is 2140, and to escape a world with no future, many turn to the Syndicate, a criminal organization who, for the right price, will smuggle you back in time to a better life. After working for the Syndicate for years, Tatsu and Oscar decide to steal one of their boss's time machines. Never a good idea. But soon find that the one thing you can't run from is your past. The Image describes it as high-stakes time-hopping, perfect for fans of Looper, In the Shadow of the Moon, and Chrononauts. It sounds pretty interesting, and I like time travel stories. So I think this is going to be a good one. I'm going to give this a try. On to the next pick.
What's up, guys? It's X-Men Patrick here, and it's previews time. I am in the Indies section, in the Image section on page 49, Die number 16. writer Kieran Gillen, artist Stephanie Hans, cover by Alberto Varanda. It's coming out May 5th, 32 pages, full color, and for mature, $3.99, fantasy, new story arc. This one is called Bleed Part 1. Go into the dark. You have to get to the dark. They never put a dungeon anywhere accessible, do they? Past sins haunt our party, and future sins permeate the landscape. Die's closing arc begins as we begin, with regrets and screaming. Offered again, Die Volume 1 through 3. I have two of them. I want the rest of them. Die has been an awesome book. I haven't read. I'm way behind on my reading. But I am going to collect this until the end, and then probably collect the trades, and keep them on my shelf and keep reading them. So that was Die number 16 on page 49. Back to you guys.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first pick this month comes from the Image Comics section on page 50 with Hey Kids Comics Volume 2, Profits and Loss Number 1 of 6. And Profits, it's spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S and not P-R-O-F-I-T-S. The writer, cover, and story artist is Howard Chaykin, who was also the solo creator of the first volume of Hey Kids Comics. New story arc. They've known for years it's the beginning of the end, so why won't the damn business just die already? Hopes and dreams are floated and crushed again, but new blood with new eyes can see a new path emerging from the mist, a fog that veterans thought just hid one more cliff. Scheduled to be in shops on May 5th for $3.99. The first volume of Hey Kids Comics was a look at the original generation who laid the foundation of the modern comic book industry and their ups and downs over the years. And so I guess this is a look at the second generation who were the first to grow up on comic books and now wanted to have a hand in creating them. If this miniseries is like the first Hey Kids Comics volume, the cast in this miniseries will be fictional characters who will represent some of the real people who were the second generation of comic book creators, or maybe a combination of people. I'm confident that I will enjoy this miniseries as much as the first volume of Hey Kids Comics.
Hey, this is James, back with the preview spotlight. And I'm looking at the March 21st previews for comics coming out in May of 2021. And the first one that caught my eye in Image is a comic that's been gone for a while, but it's come back. It's on page 52, and it is Manifest Destiny number 43. And it's from Skybound, the imprint. Chris Dignes is the writer, the artist Matthew Roberts, and Owen Genie, I guess is how you pronounce it. And the cover is also Matthew Roberts. This one has been a good series. I've been reading Manifest Destiny since issue number 1. I will say that some arcs have been stronger than others, but it's been a solid title throughout. It's basically adventurers Lewis and Clark going on their voyage upriver after the Louisiana Purchase took place and going into the unknowns and the wilderness of the wild American lands. What did we buy? They were uninhabited at the time. And what this deals with is it's not necessarily the native population, although there are native populations and there are Sacagaweas there along with Lewis and Clark for the journey, but they're dealing with the monsters and creatures and things that run afoul out there in the middle of, well, basically like the Midwest at the time. And so the thing that also caught my eye about this is they're on their way to the Pacific coast. They're doing their investigations and searches into demons and monsters and creatures and stuff like that. But it looks like this is going to be the final arc. I'm trying to see where it says it here. Long terrifying journey is almost over. It's just a matter of resolving their bargain with the demon. So the journey is almost over. So they're getting up to the Pacific Northwest. That lets me think that since they're on issue 43, they're probably going to go through to issue number 50 and then just kind of call it a day and collect it. I think this will really read really well as a collected edition too when that eventually comes out. So if you have been reading this title, this is just a notice, hey, this is coming out and it may be the final arc. And if you haven't picked it up, also solicited on this page 52, our Manifest Destiny, the first 7 trade paperbacks. So you can go ahead and pick that up if you wanted to. So on to my next pick.
Hi guys, it's Myers again, still in the Image Comics section. This time I'm on page 52, where they have Manifest Destiny number 43. They also offer again Image First Manifest Destiny number 1. And I think this is an excellent series. I've been on it since the beginning. It tells a historical fiction tale of Lewis and Clark as they're assigned by President Jefferson to explore the uncharted United States westward. And they run into the craziest stuff. It's, as they say here, it's a long and terrifying journey. And it's action adventure. Some people might say there's horror aspects to it, but I think it's just more strange creatures and just the unknown. Now, it's been going on again, as I say, the issue 43 is coming out, and it's well worth getting into. I'm not completely caught up, but I'm in the late 30s on it, so I'm really close. But it's a great story. It's written by Chris Dinges, D-I-N-G-E-S-S, with artists Matthew Roberts and Owen Genny. So it's 32 pages. Issue 43 is going to be out May 26th. It doesn't say when the Image First is, but I'm assuming it's around the same date. It's 32 pages. They sell for $3.99. And number 43 starts a new story arc. So it's this is well worth giving a try. So on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with another pick and also in the Image section. And this time I'm on page 65. I've mentioned this comic every time John and I have done the monthly comic spotlight where we talk about all the new comics we read from the previous month. But I want to shout it out this one out again. On page 65, we have the Department of Truth number 9. Writer is James Tinian IV. Artist is Mark Simmons. And there's cover B, Michael Avon Oeming, if you want the variant cover. This one, I'll tell you what it says. It says, Cole Turner's seen firsthand the horrifying ways collective belief shapes the world and how theories can manifest and take physical form. But what happens when those thought forms start to have thoughts and desires of their own? What truths about tulpas lay at the heart of the Tibetan Book of the Dead? So the biggest thing I want you guys to know about this book, and the reason why I find it so fascinating, is it seems so relevant. It's a thriller horror type title, but it's dealing so much with what is relevant and what we are seeing now. Groupthink, collective beliefs, and shaping our own reality. And if we're not seeing that today, I don't know what world we're living in. We live in a world where facts are presented and then people believe the complete opposite of what the facts tell them. They like to believe in conspiracy theory. They like to believe in there's nefarious causes to almost everything. And one of the side effects of the internet, you know, yes, there's a freedom of speech, but also anyone can write anything and people believe it. And there are people today that get their news, yes, their news from Facebook, from Twitter, from social media. That's horrifying. People get their news from memes that are literally just jokes. And the news has been demonized in such a way where people don't want to listen to facts. So this book deals with this, and yet it does it in a trippy way, where which side is the correct side? Which side should Cole be supporting? It messes with his mind as you see reality. One of the things in there is a flat earth thing that happens in the very first issue. People jump on a plane and they fly to the end of the earth, and you can see it end. And he knows the earth is not flat. But if enough people believe it, it becomes true. It manifests itself. So anyways, I think this is such a cool book. I think more people should be reading this than what are currently reading it. And when it is collected, I will buy this in a hardcover because it is awesome. And actually, I hope John and I can do a back issue spotlight on this because I think he'll really enjoy it too. So on to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick is still in the Image Comics section on page 66 with Geiger number 2, written by Jeff Johns. The story and cover A artist is Gary Frank and Brad Anderson. Cover B is drawn by Brian Hitch and cover C by Mahmoud Azrar. They found it, out in the atomic wasteland, a relic from before the war. But what is it? A tool to bring hope back to humanity? Or a weapon to finish what the bombs started? Depends on who gets it. The Casino Warlords of Las Vegas or The Man Called Geiger? By the critically acclaimed team of Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, and Brad Anderson. In shops on May 12th for the cover price of $3.99. As I mentioned in last month's previous spotlight, I decided to pick up this miniseries because I enjoy Jeff Johns and Gary Frank teaming up on two storylines of Action Comics back in 2008, first with the Legion of Superheroes and then Brainiac. Plus, I like the apocalyptic, almost science fiction feel of the solicit for Geiger number 2.
Dr. Mo here with an image pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Noctera number 3. So as of this recording, the first issue of Noctera has just come out, and I'll be honest with you, I have not done a thorough read of that first issue. I flipped through the book. I just casually read it. One, because I wanted to decide if this was something I was interested to adding to my pull list, at least the first arc. And two, if I feel like it was something that I could probably recommend for this preview spotlight episode. And thankfully, I think it is something that fans of Scott Snyder and Tony Daniel would want to get. Now, interestingly enough, I tried to find out if Tony Daniel and Scott Snyder did Batman stuff together, because it really is this interesting blending of the two styles. Whether it's Scott Snyder, you know, with his singular focus Batman, or Commissioner Gordon in the Bat-Mech. This title Noctera just really kind of reminds me of in some ways of the type of energy. Not story, but the energy that Snyder had when he was working on Batman. And unlike the first issue of Undiscovered Country, which I thought just it was kind of all over the place, I think this has a very singular vision. And I think that because we're focusing on a one lead, and the lead's name is Val Riggs, who is a truck driver who is transporting humans to a safe place, you know, in a world overrun by monsters. Very simple premise. She has these big guns. She fights these monsters. Hey, we're having fun. Tony Daniel, I think, is the perfect artist for this. Tony Daniel, who is, I really feel like he is channeling the best of what he was doing in the 90s, whether it was on The 10th, whether it was on Spawn, whether it was coming off of his run on X-Force. And interestingly enough, I feel like Tony Daniel has really grown as an artist in the intervening, 25 years or so since I probably was first introduced to him as an artist, or maybe even closer to 30 at this point. But anyway, I think that Tony Daniel does action really well. And I think that the setup of this book is tailor-made for him. So I really recommend this book if, one, you're a fan of Scott Snyder's Batman. Again, I will stress this enough, not because of the narrative, because it's certainly not we don't know enough of the story to make those kind of comparisons, but I think about the high energy and Tony Daniel, again, with the over the top superheroics and stuff that he's really accustomed to. Pretty much, especially when he was working on Batman titles. And so I really think that this combination of the two characters has created an interesting book that I at least want to see through the first arc. Noctera, number 3, can be found on page 70 of Previews and costs $3.99.
X-Men Patrick here, and I am still in the image section. I am looking on page 76. Stray Dogs, number 4 out of 5. Writer Tony Fleeks. Artist Trish Faulkner. Cover A, Trish Faulkner and Tony Fleeks. Cover B, the horror movie variant, made by the same two characters. We're coming out May 19th, 32 pages, full color, T for T, $3.99. The book is a horror book. All right, so I did read number one. It was great. It set up the story pretty well. You got to see what happened to her person, and you got to see how dogs act, I guess, in this world. It's pretty funny. I'll read the description here. It says, time is running out. Hackles are raised. Tensions are high. And nobody had a thing to eat. When the master's away, the dogs will drag everything awful onto the light. And the awful truth is nobody's coming to set them free. Really cool story. A bunch of dogs in a house, and the one dog remembers her master. And it's really pretty cool. You guys should check it out. All right, on to the next pick.
Hi, guys. Myers again. I'm into the Dark Horse section with The House of Lost Horizons, A Sarah Jewell Mystery, number 1 of 5. The writer is Mike Mignola and Chris Robertson, with art by Leila Del Duca. It's going to be on sale May 12th for $3.99, and they describe it as from the world of Hellboy. A locked room murder mystery puzzles paranormal detective Sarah Jewell and her associate Marie Therese when a weekend trip on a private island off the coast of Washington goes astray. Trapped by a storm and surrounded by a myriad suspects who have gathered for an auction of occult items, the intrepid duo must unravel the supernatural mysteries surrounding the guests in hopes of uncovering the murderer. But all the while, bodies keep piling up, and at any moment, Sarah or Marie Therese could be next. I like murder mysteries, and I like locked room or secluded area mysteries, which this sort of sounds like on an island in a... There's sort of a gothic mansion in the background of the cover art. This looks to be pretty good, so I'm going to give it a try. Hopefully you will too. On to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm on page 86 of the previous catalog, and I'm looking in the Dark Horse section where we have a new Orville miniseries. The thing that's been kind of weird about these Orville miniseries is they come out with 2 issues of a series, then 2 more issues, and then they collect it together as like a 4-issue thing. But it's weird. So it's just 2-issue arcs that come out. It's just how they do it. But it seems to be working because John and I both love them. And this one is the Orville Digressions, part 1 of 2. Writer David A. Goodman. The artist and the cover artist is David Cabeza. And it says, travel the road not taken in this prequel to the season 2 finale written by the Orville executive producer, David A. Goodman. Follow Ed, Kelly, and the would-have-been crew of the Orville as they navigate separate lives and an alternative timeline that's on a collision course with the galaxy-ending Kalon. I have not been able to watch the Orville since I went to Hulu because I don't have Hulu. I don't pay for it. I could pay for it. There's so much stuff on Netflix. Why am I going to start up a new subscription just to watch other stuff? I don't have time to watch all this stuff. But I did love this show. So I've been getting my Orville fix through the comics. And the one thing I will say is the voices are true to the characters, the mannerisms, the way that they behave, and it's hilarious. The Orville is a funny version. I'm doing a disservice by saying that. It's similar to Star Trek, and there's comedy in it. And I think it's even better than Star Trek. I know that may be blasphemy saying it, but for me, it's better. And I think more people should be reading the Orville, so I'm going to be reading this. And actually, John and I are going to be doing a back issue spotlight on the Orville pretty soon. So on to my next pick.
X-Men Patrick here, and now I'm in the Dark Horse section. I normally don't pick from this section. I'm not really into some of the Dark Horse books. But when they have the Orville, I will be picking it. I did watch Orville 1 and 2 before I watched Season 1 and Season 2 before I actually read any of these comics. And the comics are amazing. Unfortunately, COVID hit and people got crazy and sick. So we still don't have another Orville Season 3 yet. It's supposed to be coming on Hulu. It's still not there. But you still can watch Season 1 and Season 2. And they are printing another book, I guess, while they're hanging out with nothing to do. They're going to send out more comics. This is part 1 of 2. Orville, number 1, Digressions. On sale May 5th, full color, 32 pages, $3.99. It says, travel, the road not taken. In this prequel to season 2 finale written by the Orville executive producer, David A. Goodman, follow Ed, Kelly, and the would-have-been crew of the Orville as they navigate separate lives in an alternate timeline that is a collision course with the galaxy-ending Kalon. We have a couple little sneak peeks pages here. The art is always amazing, and the art is by David Cabeza. Like I said, the art's really amazing in here, so definitely pick this up if you're still missing Orville like James and I. This is the book to grab. Keeps us, you know, at bay for a little while until we start writing the Medusas and say, hey, get our story. All right, guys, on to the next pick. Let me remind you, Orville, number one, Digressions, is on page 86 in Dark Horse.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes this time from the Dark Horse Comics section on page 94 with Black Hammer Visions number 4 of 8, written by Mariko Tamaki. The story and cover A artist is Diego Olortegua. Pardon me if I mispronounce that name. Cover B is by Patricia Martin, and cover C was drawn by Christina Chung. Eisner Award-winning writer Mariko Tamaki and her superstar Marvel collaborator Diego Olortegua team up once again for a truly unusual Black Hammer issue that moves our heroes away from the farm to bizarre setting that's a cross of gothic soap opera and space opera, with colors by Dave Stewart, scheduled to be published on May 12th for $3.99. I've been a big fan of the Black Hammer universe since the beginning. I will be getting the first issue of this miniseries in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I can't wait to check out Black Hammer Visions number 4.
Hi, guys. Still in Dark Horse, this is Operation Dragon Hardcover. The writers are Bill Groeschel and Brendan Cahill, with art by German Perlotta. This is a hardcover. It's full color, 192 pages. It's going to be $24.99, and it's going to be on sale July 28th. So this is an advanced listing. It's World War II, the Pacific. A mythic adventure unfolds as three American soldiers, a disgraced ex-cop, a mobster trying to escape his past, and an intelligence officer with mysterious motives investigate a top-secret Japanese superweapon, a deadly force of trained dinosaurs. World War II buffs will love the historical accuracy, and everyone will love the dinosaurs. This reminds me of the DC, what's that story, the island of the Monster Island or whatever it is, where the soldiers end up taking on the dinosaurs and all that sort. But this, it looks pretty good. And I think it'll be fun. So I'm going to keep an eye out for this. Hope you guys do too. So on to the next pick. Hi guys, it's Myers again. I'm still in Dark Horse. This one is another hardcover. It's Bandette Volume 4, The Six Finger Secret. Now, anybody who's either heard me on this or saw my yearly spotlight stuff, I've always been beating the Bandette drum as hard as I can. It's written by Paul Tobin with art and cover by Colleen Coover. Bandette is described as the greatest thief in the world. It takes place in France, and she's just a fun character. She's a thief, and she has this sort of band of street urchins that follow her around and help her out, and she's always at odds with the policeman, who she's always trying to get him to quit smoking. It's just a fun series. The solicit says the most unlikely of patrons hires Bandette, the greatest thief in the world, to pilfer a painting whose brushstrokes hold centuries of hidden messages. Unfortunately, a series of felonious rivals contrive to snatch the art for themselves. Bandette and her adversaries utilize skill, romance, murderous intent as the canvas passes from larcenous hand to larcenous hand, as they each struggle to possess this six-finger secret. This is just a fun story. I wish these guys could put out more. Apparently, their other work keeps them too busy, or this just doesn't quite sell well enough. I think we're up to 20 single issues at this point, and he's been running for at least a few years. But it's a great story, and I hope everybody gives it a try. I'm sure they can use the business. So on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with a pick in the DC Connect. I'd finished recording all my clips and I had to come back and record one for DC. Without the catalog, I always forget to look at their info when I'm recording my preview spotlight. I wish they'd just come out with a catalog again, but until then, I did remember this time. So this is going to be on page, does that have a page number? Yeah, 4. It is Wonder Girl number 1, written by Joelle Jones, art and cover by Joelle Jones. There's a variant cover by Bilkis Evely. This is the story of Yara Flor. It says starts here. I guess it starts here, but I was reading about her before, but I guess that's going to be her in the future going into the underworld. I thought Yara Flor in the Wonder Woman comic, I think they called it, was my favorite of the Future State comics, so I'm completely on board for this. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was a cool take on a character. I liked that she didn't have the... I hate to say it, the disposition of Diana. Diana is great, but sometimes she's like a warrior of peace. I want to have a warrior. I don't want a warrior of peace. So with Yara Flor, I think we get something different. So she says, what's funny though, is it says raised in a far off land of Boise, Idaho. She does not look like someone I would suspect being raised in Boise, Idaho, but she's headed to Brazil. I think this is going to be fun. Joelle Jones does great art. Her writing has been good on some titles. She did one, I can't remember what it was called, Deadly Something. It was about a woman who was an assassin who worked from home. She was kind of undercover as a housewife. And that was a good title. But then she's had other titles that she wrote, like Catwoman, that I didn't really care for. So I'm hoping this is one of her better titles. But this is the one from DC that I'm going to shout out. And looking forward to the rest of the picks. And oh, I guess now it'll be on to my next pick, even though I'm recording this one last.
Dr. Mo here with a DC pick for the previews spotlight episode. It's Wonder Girl, number 1. So we're back from Future State. Yara Flora is ready to make her mark on the present day DC universe. Future State Wonder Woman, in my opinion, was one of the breakout books. I know, if I remember correctly, that James mentioned in one of the weekly back issue spotlight episodes how much he enjoyed the character. So it will be interesting to see if Joelle Jones, who wrote and drew Future State Wonder Woman, can take that same energy that she had during those two issues, channel that into this miniseries. And I think Joelle Jones is up to the challenge. What we're going to get here based on the solicitation text is more or less, we're going to get the origin of Yara Flor. So Future State Wonder Woman showed us Yara Flor, who was at that point acting as Wonder Woman, had been Wonder Woman for a specific period of time. Now we're going to kind of, in this Wonder Girl series, we're going to kind of flash back and find her origins, figure out how she came on the scene and obtained the sort of mantle of Wonder Girl. And it would be interesting, you know, to see these new pantheons emerge and develop. And I think that was also one of the other interesting and refreshing things about Future State Wonder Woman, is we saw a different pantheon than the Greek pantheon. And kind of one of the things I found appealing about Future State Wonder Woman and just being introduced to Yara Flor is that it kind of reminded me of how River Song was introduced in Doctor Who, where you were kind of dropped into the middle of the story. River Song, when she first appeared in Doctor Who was, you know, already acting in character, and then eventually you go back to learn the origins of that character. And I feel like we're kind of getting something similar here. Unfortunately, as of this recording, the pilot for the CW Wonder Girl show is not moving forward. The folks who were working on that pilot had announced that unfortunately that wasn't picked up. But, you know, hopefully, who knows? You know, maybe, you know, if Yara Flora generates so much interest and continues to generate interest in the comic book space, that they may try again. Who knows? I think that Yara Flora is ripe to take the DC by storm, and I definitely want to be here on the ground floor. Wonder Girl number 1, written by Joelle Jones, art by Joelle Jones, can be found on page 3 of DC Connect and costs $3.99 for a regular edition. Cardstock variants are $4.99.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes this time from the DC Comics Connect digital magazine on page 8 with Milestone Returns Infinite Edition number 0. Now, I know Dr. Moe had also picked this title, so I'll spare you having to listen to the solicit being read again. I'll just say I'll be getting the main cover by Dennis Cowan, who is one of Milestone Comics' founders. For those who may not be familiar with Milestone Comics, they were a comic book company published by DC, or distributed by DC Comics back in the 90s. They created a world of minority superheroes, which is a group that is still underserved in the superhero genre. I didn't read all of the titles. I'm only read Icon because I was attracted to the idea of a black Superman-style superhero, and I really enjoyed the series, and I still have those copies. So I couldn't resist returning to Milestone Returns Infinite Edition number 0, and I look forward to what DC Comics will bring with new stories from the Milestone universe.
Dr. Mo here with the DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Milestone Returns, Infinite Edition, number 0. So, say that 5 times fast, but clearly DC is going all in with this infinite branding. Think of it, fans, as the New 52, because remember how catchy the New 52 branding was. But, so this infinite whatever is going to be the next big thing in branding at DC. But, anyway, let's get back to what Milestone Returns Infinite Edition 0 is all about. So, last year at DC Fandom, when DC Comics announced the return of the Milestone Comics imprint, they had some preview pages available. A portion of this comic are those preview pages. My understanding that it's going to further expand upon that material. Within the last week of this recording, DC announced the creators of the forthcoming Milestone titles. These new Milestone titles will be digital first, then you'll get a print edition. So one of the titles is a new Static book written by Vida Ayala, who is working on New Mutants over at Marvel. She's just pretty. Vida Ayala is just about everywhere, but she also has that Children of the Atom book that's coming. The layouts are provided by Chris Cross, who did some work with the Milestone Comics back in the 90s. Finishes are by an artist I'm not familiar with. I've seen some of the preview pages. I like it. It looks very slick. It looks very contemporary. It's by Nicholas Draper Ivy. And there's a Rocket and Icon title. Rocket and Icon was one of the big titles in that original Milestone imprint. Certainly not as big as Static. It did not get its own cartoon like Static. But, you know, I have to say Icon and Rocket, you know, for Icon being a, you know, more or less another quote-unquote Superman type character. But the thing about Icon and Rocket, which are very interesting, it's you have a Superman type character paired with a sidekick who is essentially a Robin. I mean, but she has a belt that gives her powers. So it's this interesting dynamic, this sort of meshing of these two worlds. So the Icon and Rocket book, it's going to be written by Reginald Hudlin, along with another co-author named Leon Childs. Hudlin, I just know pretty much Hudlin from, you know, whatever Milestone work he's done over the years and his run on Black Panther for Marvel. The art for this Icon and Rocket series will be by Doug Braithwaite. And the third title out of this initial batch will be Hardwire. It's written by Brandon Thomas. Brandon Thomas used to write a column for CBR years ago. He's currently writing Excellence through Image. I know he did some stuff with Future State. Now, the artwork is by, and this is one thing I really find interesting, is by the original Hardwire artists, Dennis Cowan and Bill Sienkiewicz, which it's really fascinating. Like, they were able to get one of the original art teams back to do the new version. And Cowan and Sienkiewicz actually worked together fairly recently on that Question miniseries that was a Black Label title. So I find that really interesting. And the bulk, my understanding is that a good portion of the Infinite Edition Zero is drawn by Cowan and Bill Sienkiewicz, and it's written by Reginald Hudlin. So I recommend that this book for individuals who are, one, fans of Milestone, whether they were fans back in the 90s or people who came on board the property in the intervening decades. I personally was kind of hot and cold with Milestone back in the 90s. Part of that was, you know, you had several other imprints. You had Valiant. You had Image. And I think that Image, especially at that point, had the flashier artwork. But I think Static was the character that I latched onto the most because we were around the same age during that time period. So I really have discovered a love for Milestone, reading old issues, seeing these characters in other properties. They were on the Young Justice cartoon. So I can't highly recommend that enough for folks who are fans of the property. Second, if you're just kind of interested about new superheroes, just new characters, this may be a good entry point for you because it's not, my understanding, it's not going to be based on the old continuity. It's just going to, you know, just be a revamp and you're just going to go with it. Now, Milestone Returns, Infinite Edition Zero, can be found on page 8 of DC Connect. And the regular edition costs $4.99, 48 pages. There is a cardstock variant cover that costs $5.99.
Hi guys, it's Myers again. I've moved on to the DC Connect catalog. I'm looking at Stargirl Spring Break Special. She's back in a new tale written by Jeff John with art by Ted Noth. It's Courtney Whitmore's Spring Break plans aren't like your average high schooler's. Instead of hanging out with friends, she's heading out on an adventure with her stepfather, Pat Dugan, a.k.a. Stripe, and teaming up with his former team, the Seven Soldiers of Victory. The soldiers are forced to reunite again to unearth this secret Eighth Soldier of Victory. But what other secrets are buried? And what does it mean for her? Courtney's future as Stargirl? Be interesting to see Jeff Johns writing Stargirl again. I read the original series and I thought it was pretty good. So I'm going to look forward to this. It looks like it's a one shot. It's going to be on sale May 4th, 48 pages, $5.99, full color. And there's a cardstock variant cover for $6.99, but they don't say what it is. So, looks sort of interesting. And for a one shot, I think I'll give it a try. On to the next pick.
Dr. Mo here with the DC pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Stargirl Spring Break Special. Number one, Jeff Johns turns to his, I would say, his breakout superheroine Stargirl in this new one shot. Now, if you're a fan of the CW show, Jeff Johns is the showrunner for that series. You know, he has pretty much been guiding this character for more than 20 years at this point, going all the way back to the Stars and Stripes series back in the late 90s, through his run on JSA and Justice Society of America. And as you know, unfortunately, you know, during that sort of revamp of DC Universe with New 52, Stargirl more or less fell off the map. I mean, she was a part of the cast of Jeff Lemire's Justice League United title, but otherwise you really haven't seen her. And I'm glad that it's Jeff Johns who's sort of bringing back Courtney into the DCU. I have no idea what's going to be happening in this book based on the cover artwork. It's going to talk about the Seven Soldiers of Victory. If you are a long-term DC fan, you will know that Courtney's stepfather, Pat Dugan, a.k.a. Stripe was a member of the Seven Soldiers on Earth 2. So we'll see how much of that old continuity, if any, bleeds into this, or if this is just a straight, you know, more or less revenge. Who knows? I'm just glad to have the character back. I'm glad to see Geoff Johns doing more DC Comics work. So if you are a fan of the property, I suggest you pick this up, because hopefully that would encourage Johns to come back and do more. I understand that the second season of Stargirl is slated to come out the summer of 2021. So actually, this is kind of a nice way to kind of bring you back into that character's headspace after that long break from season one. The artwork is being provided by Todd Knock. Todd Knock, you know, really cut his teeth on teen DC characters back in the 1990s during the Peter David run of Young Justice. Knock, I mean, he drew overwhelming the bulk of that book. That book ran about 55 issues. I would say Todd Knock probably drew 75% of that book, if not more. So, I mean, I remember Todd Knock being just a workhorse. You know, I remember before that, Todd Knock, back in the days of Extreme Studios and so forth, his style had, you could still see the Todd Knock of like 25 and 30 years ago in this cover. But at the same time, you can see how his style has evolved and changed. So and it's been a while since I've seen any interiors from Knock. So hopefully I am pronouncing his name right. So I'm really curious to see what he's doing here. Stargirl Spring Break Special number 1 can be found on page 10 of DC Connect. The 48-page regular edition costs $5.99. There's a cardstock variant cover for $6.99.
Okay, I'm still in the DC Connect section. This is Batman Earth 1 Volume 3, an original graphic novel. It's the final volume of the graphic novel series by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. The solicit says, Harvey Dent is dead, or is he? A gang of thieves thrust Gotham City into a state of fear when they are mysteriously well-armed with military-grade weapons, flamethrowers, grenade launchers, and even tanks. And this gang claims it's funded by none other than the former district attorney, Harvey Dent. But is Harvey back, plotting revenge on a city he proclaims to be guilty? When Batman discovers the truth behind these many mysteries, his entire world unravels. Batman's world unravels again. It's going to be on sale on June 8th, 21, for $24.99. It's 160 pages. It's full color and hardcover. I've read the first two, and I've enjoyed them, so I'm certainly going to give this one a try. To be honest, I'll probably get it from Hoopla instead of buying it, but I think it'll be well worth reading. On to the next pick. Hi, I'm still in the DC Connect catalog. I'm looking at Deceased, Hope at World's End graphic novel hardcover. This is the volume that collects the digital chapters 1 through 15. Of Hope at World's End. In Earth's darkest hour, heroes will bring hope in this new addition to the Deceased saga, taking place within the timeline of the original epic. Deceased became a smash horror hit in 2019 by offering a twisted version of the DC universe infected by the anti-life equation, transforming heroes and villains alike into mindless monsters. This is written by Tom Taylor, with art by a number of people. Dustin Nguyen is one of them, Renardo Guedes, and a couple other people with names that I'm going to find too difficult to pronounce, so I don't want to insult them. It's going to be on sale June 15th. It's $24.99, 176 pages. It's a hardcover. I've read this digitally, and it's been a really good story. I really enjoyed the sort of Elseworlds-type stories that Tom Taylor's been able to tell with Injustice and now Deceased. He does a good job, especially when there's no guarantee of how things are going to come out. There's no guarantee that your favorite character will survive or not. You don't have to. It's not a question of whether or not they have another issue coming out next month. It's all self-contained within this series. And people live and people die and people suffer. So Tom Taylor does a very good job. And I think it would be well worth picking up. On to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine, this time on page 16 with Action Comics number 1031. Written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Daniel Sampier, backup story written by Becky Cloonan and Michael W. Conrad, with the backup story art by Michael Avon Oeming. The cover is by Mikkel Janine, and pardon me if I mispronounce that name. The cardstock variant cover is by Julian Totino Tedesco, and I'll be getting the Mikkel Janine cover. It's scheduled to be on sale May 25th for $4.99 for 40 pages, and the cardstock variant cover will be $5.99. War World Rising Part 2. After a war-torn battleship escapes War World and makes the perilous journey to Earth, Superman searches for answers about the identities of its mysterious refugees and their apparent link to the planet Krypton. Could there be other Kryptonians in the universe? Meanwhile, Atlantean scientists study the wreckage of the War World vessel and make a shocking discovery that could change the balance of power on Earth. And in the backup story, stuck in the wrong timeline, Midnighter continues to gather intel on the Chrysalis in hopes of finding an answer. But will it cost him his relationship with Apollo? And who is being held captive at Trojan Solutions? I haven't yet had a chance to read Philip Kennedy Johnson's story in Future State Superman World of War that I received from my last shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, but I'm looking forward to seeing what this new creative team will be doing with the Man of Steel. Billy Hogan again. My next pick will be on the very next page of the DC Comics Connect magazine, on page 17, with Superman number 31, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, with art by Scott Godlewski, with the backup story written by Sean Lewis and the backup story art by Sammy Basri. The cover is by John Timms, and that's the cover I'll be getting. And there is also a cardstock variant cover by In-Hyuk Lee. This issue will be on sale May 11th for $4.99 for 40 pages, and the cardstock variant cover will be $5.99. The One Who Fell, Part 2. Thought to have been defeated long ago by Superman and his allies, the ancient Shadow Breed have returned in a horrifying new form, and Superman's oldest ally has been assimilated into their ranks. As John and the besieged new Thakramite leader search for the key that will help them defeat the creatures, Superman returns to the site of his first historic victory over the Shadow Breed in an attempt to warn the Thakramites of the incoming threat. But Superman's old allies kept terrible secrets from him, and both he and John are more vulnerable against the Shadow Breed than they know. And in the bonus story, Jimmy Olsen's plan to build a backup squad to help out his pal Superman looks like it's already falling apart when two of its members, Loose Cannon and Gangbuster, would rather fight than be friends. It looks like the creative team have come up with a big challenge for Superman and Son, and the Jimmy Olsen backup story looks interesting, especially with the mention of Gangbuster, who was a big part of Superman comics back in the early 1990s. So along with the Superman story in this issue, I'm looking forward to seeing what type of superhero Gangbuster is going to be in Superman number 31.
X-Men Patrick here. I am in the DC Flick catalog online, which I don't like. I also don't like Batman. DC's new pricing is $4.99. Regular covers, $5.99 for their variant covers. Not a happy camper, because they were the ones holding back at $2.99 and one of the last ones to switch to $3.99, and now they're the first ones to put every book at $4.99. So DC's going backwards. But there's a couple books that's still picking up here and there until they really drive me nuts and I'll drop them completely. But let's get back to the story. We are on Flick number 20 of 76 on this DC Connect number 10. I'm staring at Batman number 108, written by James Tynion IV. He's doing a pretty good job on Batman. Art and cover by George Jimenez, doing pretty good on the art. Backup story by Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. This is the stuff that drives me nuts. What if I don't want to know anything about Ghostmaker with his backup story? Anyway, so Batman goes undercover to infiltrate the transhumanist gang known as the Unsanitary Collective. Unsanity Collective, and learn more about their sudden appearance in Gotham and what nefarious plans does Simon Saint have for Arkham Day, the survivor, Sean Mahoney? How does it connect to the magistrate? That is my question. Where did this magistrate come from? Who implemented it? How did it all happen? Who's leading it? They're just going to drop this on us from Future State, and there was nothing in Future State that even told us what happened. Anyway, getting back. And in part two of the action-packed, bone-rattling Ghostmaker backup story, can our hero stand up to the horror of Kid Hawaii? I don't know, Kawaii? Plus, don't miss the debut of a mysterious Miracle Molly. She makes an appearance in the one that just came out today, 106. The issue also includes a 1-in-50 cardstock variant cover featuring a foil-enhanced version of the open-to-order variant cover by Stanley Art Germ Lau, which, if you flick over to the next page, it is probably her first cover. This is that Miracle Molly girl. And there's the sketch drawing that's the 1-in-25. And the 1-in-50 is going to be the Miracle Molly foils, which, if you're going to throw that much money at it, good on you, mate. I'd definitely be picking up this Batman 108. Not a happy camper, be paying the $5.99 to get the Stanley Art Germ. But I'll grab that one. I'll probably grab cover A too, and I'll read cover A and it's bag and board cover B. So Batman 108 on Flick 20 of 76 on DC Connect number 10. All right, on to the next DC book.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine, this time on page 26 with Batman Superman number 18. Written by Gene Luen Yang with art and cover by Ivan Reis, which is a cover I'll be getting. But you could also pick the cardstock variant cover by Simone Bianchi. This will be on sale May 25th for $3.99 for 32 pages. And the cardstock variant cover will have the cover price of $4.99. The Dark Knight and the Man of Steel are on a mission to stop the godlike Autora.io from destroying the pocket worlds he's created. But where on earth did Autora.io even come from? Or if I'm even pronouncing the name right? The answer starts not on Earth at all, but with an ancient cult of world forger worshippers on a planet far away. And if our heroes are to have a prayer of stopping this mythic behemoth, they'll need to get to the bottom of his power source and quick. It's a race against time as the parallel lives of entire worlds hang in the balance. I'm really looking forward to the storyline because the version of Superman and Batman in this storyline will appear in costumes that are closer to their very first appearances. So I'm looking forward to seeing their adventure continue in Batman Superman number 18. Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine, this time on page 31 with Crime Syndicate number 3 of 6, written by Andy Schmidt, with art by Kieran McCown, with backup story art by Brian Hitch. The cover is by David Finch, with a cardstock variant cover by Babs Tarr, on sale May 4th for $3.99 for 32 pages, with the cardstock variant cover, $4.99. With the Crime Syndicate's forces combined for the first time, seeds are sown to change the world forever. But before that can happen, Ultraman, Superia, Johnny Quick, Atomica, and Emerald Knight must survive a final battle with the biggest Starro of them all, and each other. Plus, Earth-3's Alexander Luthor makes his debut. Question of the month? On Earth 3, are Starro's friends or foes? And in the backup story, witness the origin of Superwoman in a tale illustrated by superstar artist Brian Hitch. As I've mentioned in my previous clips for the Crime Syndicate miniseries, I was first exposed to them at the very beginning of the Crisis of Infinite Earths miniseries back in the 80s. I haven't read a lot of their previous appearances, so I couldn't pass up this miniseries. Yesterday, I received the very first issue in my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, So I'm looking forward to reading the Crime Syndicate miniseries.
My next pick is on page 34 of the DC Connect, and it is Flash 770. Now, what got me interested in this is, well, I'm a longtime Flash fan, so there's that. It's got a beautiful cover with Jay Garrick Flash on it, so hey, there's that. And then it mentions that Wally West's return as the Scarlet Speedster continues, so there's that. So it's sounding like they're doing almost a Quantum Leap kind of a riff with Wally bouncing through time from speedster to speedster, which is actually kind of cool. Now, I love the Jay Garrick Flash, so, you know, Wally going into there seems a little weird, but interesting. I'm hoping in this storyline that we'll get some other speedsters that we don't see too often. Maybe the early days of Max Mercury. Originally, he'd gone by the name Quicksilver. Don't know if they'll use that name or not, but again, while it does seem like a Quantum Leap kind of a riff, I'm curious to see where they go with it. So once again, that's Flash number 770 on page 34 of the DC Connect catalog.
X-Men Patrick here, and I'm still in the DC section, DC Connect. I'm on flick number 47 of 76. We are looking at Robin number 2, written by Joshua Williams, and art and cover art by Gleb Milinkov. Cardstock variant by Francis Menapal, which that's probably the one I'm getting. Of course, $3.99 for cover A. Everything else is $4.99. We are looking at... Oh, no, actually, I'll probably get cover A. Sorry, I'm thinking of a different book. New villain alert, Flatline. I think she makes an appearance in book one, so get book one before you guys miss out. She'll kill ya. She's Flatline. Alright, after the shocking events of Robin number 1, Damian has learned the deadly rules of Lazarus Island the hard way. Now he must prove that he belongs in the tournament and uncover its secrets. But his only ally is the daughter of one of the greatest enemies, Ravager. In this tournament, only one fighter can get out alive. Ready for round 2? Fight! That just reminded me of Mortal Kombat. Joshua Williamson is writing this. I don't remember reading much of his stuff, but this looks really cool. I like Damian Wayne, so I'm on board. Pick it up with me, you guys are reading well along with me. And on to the next one.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick is still in the DC Comics Connect digital magazine, this time on page 49 with Sensational Wonder Woman number 3, written by Colleen Duran and Allison Wong, with art by Colleen Duran and Eleonora Carlini, cover by Colleen Duran, with a cardstock variant cover by Marguerite Sauvage. This issue will be on sale May 4th for $3.99 for 32 pages, with the cardstock variant cover at $4.99, and this will be a digital first issue. In a tale written and illustrated by comics legend Colleen Duran, Wonder Woman faces her most relentless foe yet, a marketing maven who would sell her Louboutins for the chance to manage the amazing Amazon. Can Wonder Woman escape her most persistent pitches? She does make some excellent points. Also in this issue, it's not a Gotham City gala without a drop-in from the world's vilest. It's a good thing Wonder Woman is on the guest list, because Bruce Wayne has a secret identity to keep. I'm not reading this series, but when I saw the name Colleen Duran, I had to get this issue. I first saw her art in an issue of The Legion of Superheroes from the early 1990s when she drew the art for an issue featuring Element Lad, which is her favorite Legionnaire. And I think I have at least one issue of her creator-owned series, A Distant Soil. And while I haven't really picked up a lot of her other prolific work, I couldn't resist picking up this particular issue of Sensational Wonder Woman number 3 to read her story and enjoy her art.
Dr. Mo here with another pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Teen Titans Academy number 3. When you look at the solicitation text, you're probably wondering, why am I only spotlighting one portion of a crossover with another book? Well, the simple answer is, I'm a bit more invested in these characters. And that's not to say that Suicide Squad is a great concept, but I don't have the same kind of attachment to the squad that I do with the Teen Titans as a concept. And this is going back years, decades, to Wolfman and Perez. So my love of the Titans lore is deep, and I tend to try to give each new start a chance. And the Tim Sheridan, Rafa Sandoval era is no exception. But both of the Future State issues, I'll be honest, I was a little confused when it comes to, in terms of time and place, where things kind of fit. But what I enjoyed is Sheridan's ability to take bits and pieces of Titans lore and kind of mix and match things a bit. And also this concept of a Teen Titans Academy. It reminded me of what Grant Morrison was doing during the new X-Men era, where the Xavier Institute was just opened up and there was these floods of mutants coming to the Jean Grey / Xavier Institute and just learning how to be mutant superheroes if they wanted to. And so I think we're getting something similar here. Now, granted, I don't have a whole lot of data because so far we've only gotten two issues of written by Sheridan, which were the Future State issues. And if anything, it was really more like the end of this experiment. So Teen Titans Academy flashes back to the beginning of all of this. And now, I'm very optimistic because I think that in recent years, we've been getting Titans series in which the team feels dysfunctional and are pulled apart. And they just don't feel necessarily like, I don't want to necessarily say aspirational superheroes, but just superheroes who enjoy the company of their peers and who are just trying to do the right thing. And what I'm hoping is with Sheridan's run is that he goes back to that. He remembers at the end of the day, the Titans are about a group of friends who become a family. And I think that the Academy move helps differentiate the Titans from other superhero teen groups team groups as well in the DC universe. So I have a lot of high expectations. Hopefully those will pan out. If you are a Titans fan, I think this is a great opportunity to get back into the franchise to see what Tim Sheridan and Rafa Sandoval are doing. Rafa Sandoval as an artist has a great track record. You know, he worked on Green Lantern titles. He was one of the go-to artists during the Joshua Williamson era of The Flash. He has a very clean style. I think one of the hallmarks of Titans is like when you have an artist who has a very clean superheroic style, it really helps sell the story. Because at the end of the day, Titans are about being young superheroes and superheroines. Teen Titans Academy number 3 can be found on page 52, previews, and the regular edition costs $3.99. Cardstock variant costs $4.99.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick from the DC Comics Connect digital magazine is on page 53 with Superman Red and Blue number 3 of 6, written by Michael Fife, Stephen T. Siegel, Nick Spencer, Jesse J. Holland, and James Stokey, with art by Michelle Fife, Duncan Rouleau, Christian Ward, James Stokey, and Laura Braga, cover by Paul Pope, which is the one I'll be getting, with a variant cover by John Paul Leon, and another variant cover by Derek Chu. This is a prestige format issue on sale May 18th for $5.99 for 40 pages. 5 more incredible tales of the Man of Steel told in an art style that pays tribute to his primary colors. In this issue, we take visits to both Smallville and the Fortress of Solitude. We look at an object that was important to Superman on his trip to Earth, and we see the lasting impact that he has on those around him. plus punching. Someone has to take down the electromechano-organic intelligence they call Kilgore, but even he's nothing compared to the massive monster waiting in the farthest reaches of space. I'm looking forward to this miniseries because it takes a look at Superman from different perspectives.
Hi guys, I'm back with still in DC Connect. This is my last pick for this month. It's Batman White Knight Presents Harley Quinn hardcover. The collection includes the 6-issue miniseries and a story from Harley Quinn Black and White and Red Digital Chapter 6. It's written by Katana Collins with art by Matteo Scalera. This is part of the Sean Murphy's White Knight universe. It tells us here that it's 2 years after the events of Batman Curse of the White Knight. Azrael has wiped out criminals in Gotham. Jack Napier, formerly the Joker, is dead. And Bruce Wayne is in prison. And Harley Quinn is adjusting to life as a single mother raising the twins she had with Jack. But as a new villain arises, Harley is forced to dance with madness once again and confront her own past with the Joker and Batman while helping the Gotham City Police and an eager young FBI agent to uncover the truth behind a series of gruesome murders. I've read the first issue of this, and I thought it was really good. I've enjoyed the White Knight universe that Sean Murphy has created. And Harley Quinn has always been one of my favorites. You know, from my reading of her, in my opinion, she's had her highs and lows. But based on the first issue I've read, I think this is going to be one of the highs. I'm looking forward to being able to read the rest of this. So that's my last pick of the month. I hope you check it out. And I want to thank John for, again, offering us this forum to provide our thoughts and ideas on what's coming out. I think it's a good place to be, and I enjoy hearing from everybody every month. So on to next month. Take care.
My next pick is on page 70 of the DC Connect catalog, and it is the Justice League of America The Bronze Age Omnibus Volume 3 hardcover. Now, I don't go too often for omnibuses or hardcovers and stuff like that, but I absolutely love this era of the Justice League. Now, it's covering issues 147 to 182 of the original Justice League of America title. It's got a few other things in there, issues 11 through 14 of Super Team Family, DC Special number 27, I'm not actually entirely sure what that is. They've got DC Special Series number 6, Secret Society of Supervillains number 15, DC Comics Presents number 17, and some pages from The Amazing World of DC Comics number 14. Now, I know, I'm pretty sure I don't have that Amazing World of DC Comics number 14, and I'd have to do a little research to look at the cover of what that DC Special number 27 looks like. I've got all the rest, but like I said, I love this era of the Justice League. It's got some really fun stuff with a couple of JLA-JSA crossovers, a point where the Secret Society of Supervillains swapped bodies with the Justice League, when Black Lightning was invited to join the Justice League, some other stuff. It's just, for me, a fun era of DC. The writers are Jerry Conway, Paul Levitz, Martin Pasco, and some others. We've got art by Dick Dillon, George Tuska, and others. And, man, I don't think you can go wrong with this. Not crazy about spending, you know, the $125 cover price, but, you know, I go through Cowabunga /Deep Discount Comics, so I get a discount there. But, man, again, love this era of the Justice League. So, once again, that's the Justice League of America, The Bronze Age Omnibus Volume 3 hardcover on page 70 of the DC Connect catalog.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here again. Now I'm in the IDW section, and I am looking at our favorite little robot guy, Kanto in the City of Giants. This is on page 119. This is number 2 of 3. Still the same writer. I don't know if it's the same artist. Drew Zucker, I could have sworn, was the artist before. So David M. Buher is the writer still. Artist is Sebastian Perez. I don't think that was the last one in the last couple of series. And covers by Perez and Zucker. We have full color, 32 pages, $3.99. Available in May. They don't give you a timetable like I guess the other couple of companies did. So the incentive cover actually is by Zucker, and it looks pretty cool. A cover is good enough for me. I'm not going crazy for a retail incentive cover. Striking a bargain to free his giant friends, Kanto must now enter the labyrinth and face a foul beast known as Pharaoh. He has an untrustworthy weapon at his side, the Mysterion, which, with signs of the monster everywhere and the threat of his companion's betrayal hanging over him, Kanto must find the monster before the monster finds him. Kanto co-creator and writer David Brewer teams up with special guest artist, Sebastian Perez, in this three-issue follow-up of Kanto 2 Hollow Men, where Brewer and the artist Drew Zucker set to return on Kanto's world in the upcoming Kanto 3 Lionhearted. Booyah! I can't wait for that. Kanto's been awesome. It's usually all ages. There's nothing really bad in there. It's pretty cool little clockwork guy. He's running around trying to save his group. Pick it up. This is number 2 of 3. I don't remember when number 1 was offered. It might have been last month. You know, 2020 and 2021 are just kind of crazy years. So I don't remember when it was last done. But definitely look for number 1 when it comes out. Check out number 2. On to the next pick. That's Kanto, City of Giants, number 2 of 3. On page 119 of IDW. X-Men Patrick here, and I'm still in IDW section, and now I am looking at Star Wars. We're at page 133, but I just want to take a look over at 132, High Republic number 4. Definitely grab that. Star Wars Adventures number 9. The cover has Boba Fett. Definitely grab that. All right, so the real reason why we're here is Star Wars Adventures, Weapons of a Jedi number 1 of 2. Right here, Jason Fry and Alec Worley. Artist, Rory Coleman. I think I got that right. Full color, 48 pages, $5.99. Ouch. The critically appraised novel, the New York Times bestselling writer Jason Fry, is adapted to comics in an all-new adventure. The Rebel Alliance has destroyed the Empire's dreaded Death Star, but the Imperial Starfleet continues hunting the Rebels throughout the galaxy. Luke Skywalker now seeks to support the Rebellion as an X-Wing fighter, but he flies with the pilots of the Red Squadron. Luke feels stirring in the Force, and this farm boy turned fighter pilot begins to suspect that his destiny lies along the different path. This must be when he gets his lightsaber. I don't remember when he gets his lightsaber in the actual movies. Pretty bad of me because I've watched a few of them already the past couple of months because they're on Disney's Plus, so why not? I've watched a bunch of them. But the exact moment and the exact time and it escapes me. It's just, 2020, 2021, whatever year it is. Alright, so that is Star Wars Adventures, Weapon of a Jedi, number 1 of 2, on page 133 of IDW. On to the next one.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm in the Marvel Supplemental. The one that I'm going to shout out is on page 2, and it's literally the first thing solicited, and we have Heroes Reborn. And I could say 1 of 7, but literally on this page there's 1, 2, and then on the next page 3, 4. So the first 4 issues, it's going to be, I'm assuming, a weekly ongoing. But 1 of 7 is Heroes Reborn. Jason Aaron is the writer. Ed McGuinness is the artist. And it looks like Jason's going to be the writer on all the issues, but the artist will be Ed McGuinness for the first issue. The second issue will be Dale Keown and Ed McGuinness. The third issue will be Federico Vincenti and Ed McGuinness, and the fourth issue will be James Stokoe and Ed McGuinness. So I think it'll be kind of cool. I don't know what to think of this. It's a world without Avengers, which I hate to say this, but I'm a little bit okay with because Jason Aaron's Avengers has not been the best. It hasn't been horrible, but it hasn't been good. But I think this could be fun. What the thing that I don't know, it looks like the Squadron Supreme is going to take a big central role in the story. I like the Squadron Supreme, so I'm happy that they're coming back because we saw them at the very beginning of Jason Aaron's Avengers run, and then we really haven't seen much of them since then. So I guess we're circling back with that wagon and bringing this back. Now, there are a lot of side books that are spilling out of this little event, but I don't know if I'll be getting all these or not, but it looks like it's a amalgamation and the smash up of characters and titles and weird things, and some of them teams that you wouldn't expect to be together. So I don't know if I'm going to love this or if I'm going to think it's ridiculous and I'm going to hate it, but I'm on board for the main series. Like I said, I'm not sure about the side series. The first one, I will say, I will read you this listen to the first one just because I think it's relevant. So it says, "Welcome to a world where Tony Stark never built Iron Man armor, where Thor is hard-drinking atheist who despises hammers, where Wakanda is dismissed as a myth, and where Captain America was never found in the ice because there was no Avengers to find. Instead, the world has always been protected by Earth's mightiest heroes, the Squadron Supreme of America," which Squadron Supreme is basically like the Justice League. "And now the Squadron faces an attack from some of their fiercest enemies, like Dr. Juggernaut, the Black Skull, the Silver Witch, and Thanos with his Infinity Rings. But why is the Daywalker Blade, the one man alive who seems to remember the entire world, has somehow been reborn? So it sounds like these other characters are going to be a mix-up of multiple characters and teaming up. So you'll have this wackiness, zaniness of them mixing up the fight or face off against the Squadron Supreme. And apparently Blade will be the central character who remembers everything, who brings us all back to our senses and leads us onto the correct path of truth into the future, which will bring the Avengers back into the Marvel Universe. But it's just a fun story that's going to happen, and I'm on board for it. Like I said, I'm on board for the 7 issues, and I'm probably going to skip out on the side issues. So, on to my next pick.
Welcome to the world where Tony Stark never built an Iron Man armor, where Thor is a hard-drinking atheist who despises hammers, where Wakanda is dismissed as a myth, and where Captain America has never been found in the ice because there were no Avengers to find him. Instead, this world has always been protected by Earth's mightiest heroes, the Squadron Supreme of America. And now, the Squadron faces an attack from some of their fiercest enemies, like Dr. Juggernaut, the Black Skull, and the Silver Witch, Thanos also with his Infinity Ring. But why is the Daywalker Blade the one man alive who seems to remember that the entire world has somehow been reborn? What's up, guys? This is X-Men Patrick. I'm just being goofball. I'm in the Marvel Supplement Previews, and this is how DC should have done it. You guys messed up, but, you know, if you watched The Challenge on MTV way back when I watched it in the first couple, you always want someone else to go first to see how they fail, to know how to master it. And this looks like something Marvel is going to master. This is Future State without being Future State and cutting everything else out. Heroes Reborn is Marvel's little reboot quietly. Not reboot, Marvel's little Future State thing where everything's twisted and everything else has a different story. But they still have their normal books. So this looks awesome. This is amazing to me. I don't know a lot of comic history because I've been reading comics like steadily for the last 3-4 years only. Before that was in the 90s and maybe a little bit dabbled in the early 2000s. So Heroes Reborn, number 1 of 7, I will be picking up every single one of these books because they change some things up and make it cool and make it a different story. And it may never be canon, but it is awesome. I read, I think there's 4 of them out. Yeah, I'm flipping pages. I know you can hear it on my mic. I'm sorry. I think I read all 4 of their little description lines, and I loved it. I thought it was cool. Sucky part is pricing. It's just $5.99 for the first one, $4.99 each after that. But it seems like they'll have a lot of story. 40 pages, 56 pages, 40 pages. So the first one's 56. The rest are all 40 pages. They're going to have some little offshoots here in the back. They got a couple different offshoots that look pretty cool. I may just grab 1 or 2 of the offshoots, not all of them, or just read them on Marvel Unlimited. But definitely grabbing the main story. Hulk comes out and wants to fight Squadron Supreme, so that's amazing. I love the Hulk. So covers, they have a ton of covers. There's connecting covers. But the covers that I really like, because I am a 90s baby and a 90s Marvel baby, is definitely the trading card variants. As long as these aren't incentive, I will be picking up the trading card ones, and I'm hoping they have a Hulk one maybe later on. But if not, it's all cool in the hood. I'll be definitely getting the trading card variants. They do have issue number 2, Squadron Supreme variant cover by Carlos Pacquiao. That looks pretty cool with Squadron Supreme carrying the flag. Yeah, definitely. Trading card variants look awesome. Trading cards right now are blowing up. You can sell a Deadpool card that came with X-Force number 1, the comic book's worth a penny. And you can buy that and get the X-Force card, Deadpool's rookie card, and sell that for $100. I think it's actually higher than that now. So I will be getting these. I hope you guys get these too. This might be their next event book. Either way, looks awesome. Totally worth it for me. Hope you guys join me with picking this up. Seems really cool. Different look at all these characters. I never really read Squadron Supreme, and I heard supposedly they might be coming out with a movie for them or something. So pretty cool look now to get into it. So Heroes Reborn on page, they don't number their pages. Oh, yeah, they do. 2 and 3. It's on the Marvel Supplement. It's going to be awesome. So pick it up with me. I'll see you in the next one.
All right, we've already had a couple of people talk about Heroes Reborn from Marvel, so I'm going to talk about the New Age of Heroes from DC and how that's essentially what Marvel's doing with the Heroes Reborn stuff. They're doing a riff where essentially the Justice League is the lead superhero team in the Marvel Universe with Hero Reborns, and I'm all in. I think this is exciting. I think the Squadron Supreme's a lot of fun. Been a big fan of them for literally decades. And I'm curious how this kind of shakes up the Marvel Universe, at least temporarily, and what kind of the smashed up versions of some of these other characters are. You know, Dr. Juggernaut seems like a Dr. Doom Juggernaut kind of a combination. Silver Witch, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver kind of a thing. So I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know what kicks it off or whatever, but it seems like a lot of fun. So I'm getting the entire Heroes Reborn stuff. And again, it really kind of reminds me of DC's New Age of Heroes, where DC was doing a riff on Marvel characters, and here's Marvel doing a riff on classic DC characters. I think it'll be fun. Hopefully it is. So once again, that's the Heroes Reborn stuff on page 2 of the Marvel previews. My next pick is on page 12 of the Marvel previews, and you know how I said I was going all in on the Heroes Reborn stuff? Well, I am, and I figured I'd do a shout-out for the Young Squadron one, which is a one-shot where we've got Kid Spectrum, which is Sam Alexander, who had been Nova, Girl Power, which is Kamala Khan, who had been the new Ms. Marvel, and we've got the all-new Falcon, which is Miles Morales, which of course had been, you know, the all-new Spider-Man at one point. And this is basically a Teen Titans version of the Justice League with, you know, what had been currently kind of the champions, you know, as the stand-ins for them and kind of who they were based on in this world. Now, I'm a little curious how we got the all-new Falcon if we don't really have any Avengers and therefore no Captain America, which seems like, by extension, no Falcon, because we also don't really have Wakanda in this universe, from what little I can tell from the solicits. But either way, I've been kind of stepping out from the champion stuff for a while now. I do like these characters. I do like the Teen Titans. So I figured, hey, it's a one-shot for $4.99. Why not give it a shot and see what happens? So once again, that's Heroes Reborn Young Squadron number 1 on page 12 of the Marvel previews. My next pick is on page 14 of the Marvel previews, and it is Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's Heroes Reborn, Hyperion and the Imperial Guard. And, of course, Hyperion's essentially Superman. This is a teenage version of him, so Superboy. And the Imperial Guard is basically the Legion of Superheroes. Now, again, big fan of Superboy and the Legion. I'm curious to see what this kind of one-shot riff is in this universe. And if we get essentially a more classic Legion take than honestly we've usually gotten from DC in the last few decades. So again, like I said before, I'm all in on the Heroes Reborn stuff. I like what they're riffing on. We've got what looks like some fun stuff here. So I'm looking forward to it. So once again, that's Heroes Reborn, Hyperion and the Imperial Guard, number 1 of 1, on page 14 of the Marvel previews.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes this time in the Marvel Comics insert on page 24 with Fantastic Four, Life Story number 1 of 6, written by Mark Russell with art by Sean Isaacs with covers by Brett Booth and also Marcos Martin. In the tradition of Spider-Man Life Story and in celebration of the FF's 60th anniversary comes this series setting the lives of the Fabulous Foursome in real time across the years. Amid the backdrop of the Cold War and the space race, a terrible accident gives the Fantastic Four great powers, a terrible secret, and entangles them in the history of their planet. Rated T14. It's scheduled to be in shops on May 19th for $4.99. I think this is the first time I've ordered a title from Marvel since Powers was published through Marvel's Icon imprint. Not because I don't like Marvel, but I just didn't have a lot of room in my comic book budget to squeeze in a Marvel title. But when I saw this miniseries, I had to get it because the Fantastic Four is my favorite Marvel group of heroes. Spider-Man is a close second, but I would have to put the Fantastic Four number 1 in my book. my first comic book that I remember having involving the Fantastic Four was, I believe it was issue number 38. Yes, I am that old. Daredevil was on the cover, and we had a giant Dr. Doom peering at them from behind some New York tenement buildings as Daredevil was leading the Fantastic Four down the street. So I've collected the Fantastic Four various times over the years, and I was going to begin collecting the latest Fantastic Four series that's going on right now. But when I saw the first issue was going to be $5.99, I just couldn't quite squeeze it into my budget at the time. So hopefully with this miniseries, maybe I'll jump in and begin getting the regular Fantastic Four series in the near future.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental. And this time I'm on page 24. And this one really surprised me because we have Fantastic Four, a life story, number 1 of 6, written by the drumroll, Mark Russell, and the artist, Sean Zoxy. I don't know how to say that name. The art looks fine, though. I flipped the page. I'm like, yeah, the art's decent. Whoever, I just never heard of Sean Zoxy. But Mark Russell, we've all heard of him. I'm a fan of Mark Russell. Ever since Flintstones, I've been a fan. I've been on board everything he's written. His stuff at Ahoy, his stuff at Image, wherever he's writing, I'm reading it. His stuff at DC, I like it all. But let me read to you what this one is. It's him doing the Fantastic Four, but it says, in the tradition of Spider-Man life story, and in celebration of the Fantastic Four's 60th anniversary, yep, we're coming on the big 6-0 for the Fantastic Four, comes this series setting the lives of the Fabulous Foursome in real time across the years. Amid the backdrop of the Cold War and the space race, a terrible accident gives the Fantastic Four great powers, a terrible secret, and entangles them in the history of their planet. So it sounds like it's going to be the origin of the Fantastic Four told by Mark Russell, and I'm looking forward to the Mark Russell comedy and satire that comes through on that. I think it could be a lot of fun. I'm on board for this. I can't recommend it highly enough. He was my writer of the year one year, a couple years back when John and I were doing the year-end spotlight. So, who knows? If he does this right, he could be my writer of the year for Marvel. On to my next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick back, and I am now looking at page 32 in the Marvel supplement. We're looking at Alien number 3. Philip Kennedy Johnson is the writer. Salvador La Roca is the artist. Cover by In-Hyuk Lee. You're my boy. Variant cover by Philip Tan. Variant cover by Adam Kubert. Danger on all sides. Epsilon Station is overrun with danger, not all of it from the Xenomorphs. Cruz holds a mission information back from his soldiers, but he's not the only one with secrets. We are not who we say we are. 32 pages. Parental advisory, $3.99. I just found out that my boy Greg Horn is going to be making some covers with this. If you guys have not seen some Greg Horn art, that boy can draw. I don't think it's up for number 2 or 3. I think it's actually for number 1. But definitely, Alien seems like a pretty cool cover. It seems like In-Hyuk Lee's covers are all these people with the tails or some kind of form of it. And I will be picking up all In-Hyuk Lee's covers because, you know, that's my boy. Alright, on to the next pick. X-Men Patrick here, and I am further back in the Marvel catalog. I could tell you all these stories that I want to pick up, but they're all mostly just continuing. Like, Immortal Hulk's supposed to be ending at 50. Not happy about that. Nick Spencer's supposed to be off of Spider-Man. He's not yet. But all those stories aside, we have, of course, a Star Wars book. I love talking about Star Wars in here. And they have a new number one, a new book coming out. And with the show coming out soon for Disney Plus, why not do a comic book about it? So Star Wars, War of the Bounty Hunters, Alpha number one. Charles Soule is the writer. Steve McNiven, artist and colorist. Boba Fett, Black Armor variant cover by Steve McNiven. Crimson variant cover by Steve McNiven. Variant cover by Linnell Francis Yu. Action figure variant by who else? John Christopher. We have some art here from issue 1. We have a pretty awesome cover here from McNiven after S. Platt. I guess S. Platt was the the artist, and he drew a color. Wow, in English. One was an artist, the other was colorist. Alright, so we're gonna Star Wars comic event you've been waiting for. The notorious bounty hunter Boba Fett has finally landed his greatest prize, Han Solo, frozen in carbonite for easy transport. Fett will bring the smuggler to Tatooine to collect a massive bounty placed on Solo's head by fearsome crime lord Jabba the Hutt. Sounds easy. What could go wrong? 32 pages, $3.99. Gee, I wonder what could go wrong. How many of these bounty hunters are actually hunting for the same guy for the same payday? You know, like the bounty hunters that are in the bounty hunter book? Oh, if you flip, you get more art. Dude, the art's pretty cool. These guys are spot on. Not bad, not bad at all. If you flip over to page 78, they actually have director's cut number one. I don't know why they would send it out at the same time, but you do get to see the black art cover, which is pretty cool. And it looks like they're tying in Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 12 with it, because in the eye of, I'm guessing that's, what's that guy's name, Valance? It looks like you can see Han Solo standing there. So pretty cool. I mean, I'm collecting all the Star Wars books now right now because I hopped on Dr. Aphra for the first appearance of someone and I just haven't gotten off of it yet, even though I haven't read any of them yet because, like I said, I'm way behind. But looks like a pretty cool book to get. Has Boba Fett on it, so the cover should, you know, hold some value later on in life. And I'll be picking up the director's cut too, so why not? Get them all, right? And that way you can't, you know, no FOMO, no fear of missing out. All right, guys, on to the next one.
Hey, this is James back with another pick in the Marvel Supplemental. This time I'm on page 90, where we have Kull the Destroyer, the original Marvel Years Omnibus hardcover. And this is written by a whole slew of people, including Roy Thomas, Jerry Conway, Steve Englehart, Doug Mensch, you name it, blah, 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 all the way through. And then there's a bunch of artists on here, too, of course. This one is 784 pages for $125 or $62.50 from Deep Discount Comics, a.k.a. Cowabunga. And the thing that I will tell you about this is, well, it says Conan wasn't the only Robert E. Howard sword and sorcery icon to be adapted into Marvel Comics. Conan was the first. So following Conan's success, they brought over Kull. Now, one thing I will tell you is that Robert E. Howard, which I find this humorous, but he found Conan to be kind of boring. He's just a barbarian guy. Kull, who was, a king and had more intrigue about him, Robert E. Howard liked Kull more than Conan. Which is kind of interesting to hear that, because Conan is so much more of a success than Kull ever was. Kull was kind of a forgotten character for the most part. But I was a fan of it. I actually like Kull. I didn't love it. I love Conan and I love King Conan more than I like Kull. But I was a fan of Kull, so I'm definitely picking this one up. Now, one thing I will tell you, it has Kull the Conqueror from 1971, numbers 1 through 10. Kull the Destroyer, 11 through 29. Creatures on the Loose, number 10. Monsters on the Prowl, number 16. Plus material from Kull and the Barbarians, number 1 through 3. Savage Sword of Conan, number 9. Conan the Barbarian, 1970, number 10. And Conan Annual, number 3. So I will be picking this up. I will be reading it. And on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time I'm over on the very next page. Page 91, where we have Conan the Barbarian, the original Marvel Years Omnibus Volume 6 hardcover. Now, I'll tell you why I think this is really cool, and then I'll tell you why I'm a little bit sad. Okay, Conan the Barbarian, the original Marvel Years Omnibus, we have written by, I'm not going to read off these names, but a whole list of people, and art, a whole list of people. But this one is going to be 672 pages for $125 or $62.50. You know where to shop, Deep Discount Comics, a.k.a. Cowabunga. And this one is collecting Conan the Barbarian number 150 through 171, Conan Annual number 8 through 9, and What If number 43, which had Conan in it. One thing I will tell you is, the reason why I now realize as we're getting these out, these omnibus for Conan are coming out rather quickly. What does that mean that they're coming out so quickly? It means that Marvel probably bought the license to Conan for probably 3, 4, 5 years, something like that. Let's go with 3 or 4 years, give or take. I don't know if they bought it outright, but the way that these omnibus are coming out so quickly lets me think that, okay, they're trying to rush these things out, get them out the door before the license expires. And this one, it's going up to issue number 171, so I imagine there'll be two more omnibus editions taking this up to issue 275, which I think 275 was the final issue of Conan before they let the license expire and Marvel no longer publish Conan comics. So that'll make it a little bit sad that if it's coming out that quick, it's going to, the license may be going away. Maybe I'll lose my single issues, but that's not for sure. That's me speculating. So sometimes I speculate and prognosticate based on what I read and what I see. So I'm hoping that's not true. I'm hoping they keep the license for a long time or bought the licensing rights, you know, forever. But I'm picking this up regardless. I love having these omnibus. I love Conan the Barbarian. Every time I read Conan, it puts a smile on my face. This brings me back to my childhood. So on to my next pick.
Hi, guys. I'm in the Marvel Collected Editions. It's the Moon Knight Bad Moon Rising Epic Collection. It's a new printing. It's volume one in the Moon Knight Epic Collection series. It's written by Doug Munch, David Anthony Kraft, Bill Mantlow, and Stephen Grant, with art by Don Perlin, Keith Giffen, Mike Zeck, Jim Mooney, Jim Craig, Gene Colan, Keith Pollard, and Bill Sienkiewicz. And the cover is by Sienkiewicz. It's got material from Werewolf by Night, Marvel Spotlight, Defenders, Spectacular Spider-Man, Marvel 2-in-1, the Moon Knight 4-issue miniseries from 1980, plus material from the Hulk magazine and Marvel Preview. It's going to be 504 pages, and it's $39.99. It's going to be on sale June 2021. It's all the early appearances of Moon Knight. It's an interesting character. I enjoyed it a lot when I read it. I haven't read him in years, but I read those early books, and he reminded me enough of Batman that I really got involved with him. It's an interesting character, and if you like the early days and you want to go back and check him out again, you can discover the many faces of Moon Knight. He was a mercenary, a werewolf hunter, a superhero, a millionaire playboy, a cab driver, all sorts of things. And like I say, it's going to be out in June 2021 for $39.99. If you like the Epic Collection books, I think this may be a good one. On to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with another pick. And this time I'm in the Dynamite section. I'm on page 146. And you may have seen some of us on the Slack channel. Brawlinator, Viking Joker, even X-Men Patrick. We were all chatting about the new Invincible Red Sonja, which is being solicited. Once again, page 146. The reason why this one came to light, a new Red Sonja series, is not that shocking coming from Dynamite. You know, they tend to spin them out every so often. But the writer on this one is Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, and the artist is Mortat. Mortat, typically, I remember in the past when I saw the art, did a fantastic job, and Mortat used to be to work in adult comics with an X. So that's always made me kind of chuckle when I did said that. I was like, well, I guess the art will be good. But this one, I'm curious to see, because Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, they're so known for their work on Harley Quinn for all these years. And with the shakeup of the editorial staffs at DC, a lot of the longtime exclusive writers at DC are either writing also at Marvel or going out and doing other things, because I'm assuming the page rate went down and they're all let out of their exclusive contracts because they're all kind of like doing other stuff. In addition, we're even seeing Mark Russell getting ready to do a Fantastic Four book. But here you go. You got Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor on Invincible Red Sonja. I'm not going to read you the solicit because I'm sure someone else will probably shout it out. Red Sonja, girl in a bikini with swords, Hyborian age, so basically the same age as Conan. That's all you need to know. Let's see if their comedy is not as wacky as it is in Harley Quinn, because that kind of drives me nuts at times, but I'm definitely going to give this one a shot. The cover that I'm getting is probably the Selena cover. I really like that cover. I will say the Dominica cosplay one's nice, but Frank Cho has a cover, and I'm a Frank Cho fan, but it is black and white, so I'm kind of like, I go back and forth. It's going to be Frank Cho or Selena. I'm not going to get both. I'll pick the one I like the best. So on to my next pick.
Hi, it's Myers again. I'm into the Dynamite section, this time with the Invincible Red Sonja number one, written by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. The artist is Mortat, and there's covers by, it looks up to be about 2 million people, so I'm not going to list them all sorts of variants. It's Red Sonja finds herself on a spectacular journey filled with pirates, mermaids, princesses, and political intrigue as the threat of two kingdoms hang in the balance. Not sure what else I have to say. Red Sonja is a favorite of mine, and I know a favorite of some of the other guys here. So, The Invincible Red Sonja by Palmiotti and Connor. I think this is going to be fun. So keep an eye out for it. On to the next pick.
What's up, guys? X-Men Patrick here. I'm in the Dynamite section, and Dynamite is just like Dark Horse for me. I really don't order much out of this section because it's just comics that don't really, you know, they're not aimed at me, I feel, with the Red Sonja, Vampirella, and stuff like that. But talking to the guys on the Slack channel, this Invincible Red Sonja number one on page 146, Amanda Connor and Jim Palmetti. I read Amanda Connor's book. It was called Assassination, and I loved it. It was awesome. And this is a brand new start to Red Sonja. I've never read a Red Sonja book before, but they have, you know, pushed me to give it a try. So I'm going to give it a try. Let's see. I'll read the description. I'm sure other guys are picking this, but I'll just read it anyway. Written by the award-winning fan favorites Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmetti. I said that right last time. Palmetti. Red Sonja finds herself in a spectacular journey filled with pirates, mermaids, princesses, and political intrigue as the threat of two kingdoms hangs in the balance. All this, plus the spectacular art of Moriarty and the cover art by Amanda Connor and Paul Mounts, makes the Invincible Red Sonja a series not to be missed. With so many challenges, Sonja will need to be invincible to overcome these odds. There is a ton of covers. I'll be probably getting cover A. I love pirate stories, so this actually is right up my alley. I may get the Frank Cho version just because I think it's funny. You know, I'll just bag it and board it and put it in my collection, not hang it on a wall or anything, but I think it's a pretty funny cover. If you're going to get this with me, let us know on the Slack channel or wherever you find us at. I'm going to read it. James, you pushed it on me. It's your fault. All right, on to the next pick. Right, so again, The Invincible Red Sonja, number one, Dynamite, page 146.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Myers again. I've moved on to the Boom Studios section of previews, and this is Eve number one. It's one of five. Previews makes it a gem of the month. It's written by Victor LaValle and illustrated by Joe Mijong, I believe it is. They tell you it's for fans of Undiscovered Country and Little Bird. I've read Undiscovered Country, but I'm not sure what Little Bird is. It's going to be on sale May 5th, $3.99, 32 pages. It talks about it being a dangerous journey across a future dystopian America. When the ice caps melt, most of humanity was lost to the hidden disease that was released. Now a mysterious girl named Eve has awoken in secret and must deal with a world that's nothing like the virtual reality she was raised in. In order to save her real father, Eve must embark on a deadly quest across the country, but she has no idea of the threats that await her or the price she'll pay to restore life to a dying planet. And the image they provide, I believe, is the main cover, and she's on some sort of float, paddling with a paddle made out of a stop sign, and it looks like a hockey stick, and she's got a teddy bear with her, who looks to be alive and watching ahead. So it's, I'm not sure if it's all ages or just a lot of different ideas. But who can resist a comic book with a teddy bear on the front cover? So I'm going to give it a try, see what I think. And I hope you do too. On to the next pick.
All right, so X-Men Patrick here. I'm in the Boom section, and one of my favorite artists is In-Hyuk Lee. And I am looking at Eve number one on page 182. This is one of five. It's a gem of the month. Written by Victor LaValle. Illustrated by Joe Mingong. And there's a bunch of different colors. Mirka and Dolphla does two. One of them's an incentive. And of course, In-Hyuk Lee's is an incentive. Sorry for the slurring of the words. And if you look over on 183, you can see In-Hyuk Lee's cover, and it looks pretty awesome. That's it. They only give us those three covers. So we will read it. It is for fans of Undiscovered Country and Little Bird. I didn't read Little Bird. I'm not really a fan of Undiscovered Country. Comes a new adventure series of award-winning author Victor LaValle. Victor LaValle's Destroyer. I guess that's his book. And rising star artist Joe Mingong. Jim Henson's Dark Crystal. I did not read that either. About the dangerous journey across a future dystopian, of course, every future dystopian in America, to save the world. When the ice caps melted, most of humanity's was lost to the hidden disease that was released. This is, yeah, well, anyway, we'll skip on this. Now, a mysterious girl named Eve has awoken a secret and must deal with the world that's nothing like the virtual reality she was raised in. In order to save her father, Eve must embark on a deadly quest across the country, but she has no idea of the threats that await her, or the price she will pay to restore life to a dying planet. I'm not really big on all this, you know, dying planet stuff, but this book looks cool. The art looks good. I like the premise. I'm dystopian. Everything's dystopian in the future. The future's never bright. but Eve looks like an awesome book. I hope the Inhyuk Lee book is not like a 1 in 50 or something, because I really like that cover. But I'm picking it up. This is, once again, Eve, number one. 1 out of 5, and it's May 5th, $3.99, 32 pages. Doesn't say whether it is T for teen or M. I'm going to guess T for teen, probably. All right, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James. I'm back with another pick, and this time I'm in the back half of the previews catalog. And the thing that stopped me is the Blaze section of comics on page 204, where we have Gung-Ho Anger, number one. Now, this is a mature comic, just so you know. Benjamin von Eckertsberg and Thomas von Cumont. This is, of course, a Euro comic that's been translated in English. It's been done before. But the thing I wanted to tell you, this comic is excellent. It's about these two brothers who are kind of like misfits in an orphanage, get sent to an outpost in a dystopian world where this outpost, there's a train that brings in supplies once every so often, but they're literally on their own, you know, with guns and stuff, trying to hold off these big white ape-like creatures that will kill you quickly, along with other creatures that kind of inhabit the wastelands. When I say wastelands, it looks like lush jungle, but it's not where you want to be. So there's little pockets of civilization. And these two kids, there's antics, there's teen drama, there's they talk about Archie in here, and this is the Archie romance that goes on. But it definitely is mature, and way more mature than what you'd see in Archie. But one of the brothers had gotten banished because of an accused man. I don't want to say it because I don't want to spoil it in case you're going to read it. There was an accusation in the last comic, which the brother did to help out a girl. The girl flipped the script on him. He got kicked out of the place. So now he's on the outs, and he's out in the post-apocalyptic wasteland by himself, and the other brother and people want to save him. So anyways, I think this will be a cool one. I'm waiting for this all to be collected in a big hardcover, which I think they're going to do, because they've been collecting the Sumerian over at Ablaze in little chunks of hardcovers, and I'm picking those up, just double-dipping on them. But I think this will be a bigger hardcover where they'll collect the whole story, but I will definitely pick it up if they do that. So definitely pick this up, check it out. I'm sure you can pick up the other issues from the previous 5-issue stories, little miniseries that came out. And check out Ablaze. They are an excellent publisher. On to my next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My next pick comes this time in the back half of previews on page 208. From Abstract Studios, it's Serial number 4. The writer, cover, and story artist is Terry Moore. If anyone knows how to find a serial killer, it's Zoe, America's favorite psycho who has looked like a 10-year-old for 50 years. Zoe's innocent appearance and deadly skills make her the perfect bloodhound in the search for the Santanino serial killer. Zoe's close friend stands accused of the crimes. If Zoe doesn't find the killer, and soon, an innocent person will go to prison for life. In shops May 19th for $3.99. Terry Moore is one of my favorite independent comic book creators. He knows how to draw realistic women and strong characters in a variety of genres, which is what I'll be expecting from Serial number 4.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and this time I'm on page 210 in the Aftershock section. Which this one kind of surprised me to see it coming back. This is Baby Teeth number 17. And the writer on this is Donnie Cates, and the artist is Gary Brown. Now, Donnie Cates was writing Baby Teeth at Aftershock a while back, and he kind of got busy doing all of his Marvel stuff, a few little Image things, and this title got abandoned. So I'm surprised it's back, but it was a good series. It was one of the ones where I was like, man, this publisher Aftershock, there's somebody to watch. So I'm happy to see this. It's this is saying it's the final four issues. So it looks like it's going to be 17, 18, 19, 20. It'll be a 20-issue run that they'll probably collect it in one big hardcover or, you know, several trade paperbacks that are available right now. And this is a horror story. And I'm trying to remember all the stuff because it came out so long ago. But what I remember is a woman gave birth to basically the Antichrist, a devil spawned baby. But it was really cool. I think this was a fun story. I know that sounds kind of demented saying that, but it was a fun story. It was really good. And it was Donnie Cates being a good writer before people knew him as the Donnie Cates we know him today. So Donnie wrote a lot of stuff before he went over to Marvel. And this is your chance to get caught up on something that he actually used to write over Aftershock, which I was enjoying for a long time. So on to my next pick.
X-Men Patrick here again, and this time in the Aftershock section. I'm on page 218. There is a few on this page here that I like, and there's one on the other page, Bequest number 3, that I like. So Scout's Honor looks like a cool book. I'm going to grab that. Maniac of New York. I grabbed number 1, didn't read it yet. The real reason, Shadow Doctor number 4. I ordered number 1, got it, haven't read it yet. I forgot to order number 2, so hopefully I can pick it up at my LCS. If not, I'll order it from Cowabunga Comics. I will read Shadow Doctor number 4 to you. Peter Calloway is the writer. Artist Georges Ginton. Colorist is John Chole. Letterer is Charles Prickett. Oh, they actually ran them all. Cover is Mark Chilero. That's pretty cool. None of the other guys do artist and colorist and letter. So that's neat. Good call-outs there. $3.99, 32 pages, full color. Historical Crime, May 26. The attempt on Capone's life has ignited a bloody battle between the Italians of Chicago. With war now raging, Nathaniel realizes what he is to the people he works for. A tool. One to be used to patch up gangsters he knows will kill him again. Now, Nathaniel wants out. Wants to undo what he's done. Until a knock on his door changes everything. This is a story about a black doctor who got his doctorate and then could not practice because people were stupid and didn't like black people back then. So the only person that would give this guy a job was Al Capone, which is awesome. Like, you know, at least he got a job. He's protected. I didn't read the story. Cannot wait to read this story. Seems like an awesome story. You guys should definitely read it. It's kind of historical. I don't know. It's based on a true story, but it's, you know, obviously it's a comic book. It's not true, all of it. But if this really happened, it's kind of messed up. So I want to read it just because I like these kind of stories. I like learning about Al Capone and stuff like that, so it's all cool with me. And this poor doctor. I'd love to learn about this poor doctor and see what happened in his life. So this is number 4. I'm sure it's probably a 6. It doesn't have a number on there. That's the only thing Aftershock doesn't do is tell you one of what. But number 4 is coming out in May. Try to grab number 1 now while you can. 2 is coming out soon. 3, obviously, is probably in the last previews, and number 4 is in this one. So grab Shadow Doctor number 4 from Aftershock Comics on page 218. See you on the next one.
Hey, this is James back with another pick, and I believe this is going to be my final pick just because I was pressed for time this month. So if I'm pressed for time, I usually stop around artists, writers, and artisans, and that's what I'm going to be doing this month. On page 244, here in the back half, we have from AWA, Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal. The writer on this is Garth Ennis, and the illustrator is Gordon Suzuka. And those names should sound familiar. We've seen them team up before. But this one, it's an 8-issue miniseries. It looks like something, just the cover art. Yeah, this is definitely Garth Ennis. I can't tell you why this book, other than looking at the cover, it's cool. And Garth Ennis, I'm usually a fan of almost anything he writes. But this one's definitely going to be a mature book. I will tell you what this list says. She's Marjorie Finnegan. She's a temporal criminal. What more do you need to know? Not much, I guess. All right then. All Marge needs to do is race up and down the Times lanes, stealing every shiny, gleaming, pretty, sparkly she can lay her hands on. But her Cernus trail from the Big Bang and the 95th Reich has drawn the beady eye of the Temporal PD, whose number one deputy marshal is now hard on our heroine's tail and talking things extremely personally. Worse still, Marge's worthless creep of an ex and his even scummier partner have seen an angle of their own in all this, and now intend to use her time tech to change history for their own benefit. Marge's only ally, a guy called Tim, and he's just a head. And yeah, you see a picture of him. It's a guy with a head. I mean, come on. What's the use of just a head? So this seems kind of like wacky. I mean, they talk about a Reich, so you're going to have the Nazis, which he usually makes fun of Nazis in his books. You got to go with the head. She's a criminal, so she's an anti-hero. This sounds like Garth Ennis 100%. I think it'll be a fun read. I don't think it'll be a real in-depth book. I think it's just Garth doing what Garth likes to do. And like I said, that's going to be my last pick for the month. Thanks, John, for everything you do. I send it back to you, and I'm really looking forward to everyone's picks because I literally pick up something, you know, one or two extra books based on what you guys shout out in the preview spotlight. So until next month, talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, guys. I've moved down in the catalog. I'm in the AWA Upshot section. It's the title is Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal. It's written by Garth Ennis and illustrated by Goran Zakuda. And she's Marjorie Finnegan. She's a temporal criminal. All she wants to do is race up and down the timeline, stealing every shiny, gleamy, pretty, sparkly thing she can lay her hands on. But her larcenous trail from the Big Bang to the 95th Reich has drawn the beady eye of the Temporal PD, whose number one deputy marshal is now on our heroine's tail. I really like Garth Ennis's war comics, and I've enjoyed his Punisher Max series and his Hitman, and I'm not sure exactly where this falls in his ballpark of comic books, but I'm willing to give it a try. There's a variant cover by Frank Cho and a variant cover by Mike Diodato Jr. It's going to be on sale May 5th. It's $3.99, and it has a mature label on it. So, and it's 1 of 8. So that's Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal, from AWA Upshot. On to the next pick.
Hi, it's Marvin, also known as Viking Joker. And I'm on page 244. Way in the back in the AWA section, and I'm spotlighting Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal, written by Garth Ennis, illustrated by Goran Suzuka. Of course, Garth Ennis is Garth Ennis. No introduction necessary. Goran is also pretty amazing for you book club readers out there. Of course, you might remember him from Why the Last Man. So this is a time travel story. I just buy everything from AWA, and I just wanted to highlight this one. It's the first time Garth has written for them, I think, and it's the first issue, first of 8, which is also kind of unusual. I don't think they've had any titles go 8 issues. They typically go 4 to 6, and they just do miniseries. So this is a little longer than normal, but it's $3.99 for 32 pages, and I will definitely be picking this one up, and I hope you do too.
Hi, guys. This next one is from Cartoon Books. It's by Jeff Smith. It's a re-release of Bone, Volume 1, Out of Boneville, the soft cover color edition. The Bone Adventures tell the story of a young bone boy, Phone Bone, and his two cousins, Phony Bone and Smiley Bone, who are banned from their homeland of Boneville. When the cousins find themselves mysteriously trapped in a wonderful but often terrifying land filled with secrets and dangers and special new friendships, they are soon caught up in adventures beyond their wildest dreams. I don't know if anybody here has read Bone, but I found it to be a fascinating story. They have an omnibus of it that has the entire story. It's in like 1,300 pages or something like that. And I remember buying that, and I read it in 2 days. So I would really recommend Jeff Smith's Bone. And this is Volume 1, and it's in color. The original was in black and white, and it's even cuter in color. So it's 144 pages, full color, $12.99, and it's from Cartoon Books. Preview says it's an essential item, so hopefully you'll give it a try. On to the next pick.
X-Men Patrick here. Now I'm in the back of the books. That's right. Get some indie blood in you guys. You guys aren't reading enough indies. So I'm on page 283. I'm looking at Hero Tomorrow Comics. Never heard of them. But this book looks pretty cool. They took out a pretty big page on their ad here. So I'll give them a try. This is Punchline and Vaude Villains, number 1. Writers Sakura Ted. I don't know why it's written like that, but all right. Artist and color artist is Donnie Hadawaji. Yeah, good luck reading that one. Sorry, buddy. All right, so I'll read this one really quick. Drayton Hayes is a heavyweight boxer who was kidnapped by a bizarre troop of scoundrels calling themselves vaudevillains, then transformed into a superpowered murderous clown, Punchline. Tap Dance Killer number 1, 2018. Didn't read that. Punchline is about to throw down with the main superhero from the Heroes Tomorrow comic universe, Apama, in the series that turns on a dime from horror to comedy to supernatural. I have no idea what this is going to bring. I didn't read Tap Dance Killer number 1, but this looks pretty cool. It looks like it has an oddball size. It looks 7x10, 32 pages. The art looks pretty cool just on this little, you know, art page here. They have two different covers, one by the Donnie guy and another one by a Gonzo. And there's another one on this page, but I guess, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested. Looks pretty cool. Heavyweight boxer fighting a superhero. I don't know. Seems pretty cool. I figured I'd try it. It is an indie book. Good to try. All right. So that is Punchline and the Vaudevillains on page 283 from Hero Tomorrow Comics. See you in the next one. X-Men Patrick here. I'm even further back in the book now. I don't know how many of you guys go back this far, but I'm on page 320 on Second Sight Publishing. That's right, pumping some more indie blood into you guys. We are looking at Blood, Skulls, and Chrome number 1 by Hanu Kesola? Hanu Kesola and Mohamed Rami is the artist. Marcelo Salaza is also an artist, and cover artist is Miguel Ruiz. I hope I didn't butcher any of them, but you know, I probably did. Alright, I'll read this to you. This is the Texas-based outlaw motorcycle club. The Steel Knights have lost a big deal from the Mexican cartel to a rival Lake Street Boys gang. When two reckless members of the MC kill the cartel's liaison, the MC soon finds themselves fighting for survival against the threats from outside and within. 24 pages, $3.99, 1 of 5. It looks pretty cool. I do like the TV show they have on there. It was, I can't think of the TV show that was on FX. Yeah, the biker show. Pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the real story thing that was on like IDTV or something like that. So why not? I'll read this. I ride a motorcycle. I like that kind of stuff. Let's read a comic book about craziness. Once again, indie book. Probably won't get specced and picked up. It's probably just a book I'll read once or twice and stick in a box and it'll be there forever. But who knows? This could be pretty cool. It could be turned into a movie or a TV show like everything else nowadays. So if you're going to read it with me, cool, read it with me. Hit us up on the Slack channel. Talk about it with me. Blood, Skulls, and Chrome, number 1, on page 320 from Second Sight Publishing. All right, on to the next pick.
Billy Hogan again. My final pick this month comes in the very back of previews on page 335 from Tomorrow's Publishing. It's Alter Ego number 170. In AE number 170, it finally happens. Jack Kirby showcased cover to cover in an issue of Alter Ego, behind a never-before-printed Kirby cover. Will Murray on Kirby's crucial contributions to the creation of Iron Man. FCA on his Captain Marvel / Mr. Scarlet work at early 40s Fawcett. Special Kirby sections by Michael T. Gilbert and Peter Normanton. Kirby in 1960s fanzines, Stan Lee's colorful quotes about the King, Roy Thomas on being a Kirby fan and occasional foil, from 1946 till today, plus other classic Kirby sightings, in shops on June 16th for the cover price of $9.95. If you're a fan of comic book history like I am, then Alter Ego is an excellent magazine each month. I don't get it every month, mainly because of the cover price, but whenever a special issue catches my attention like this one, I just have to get it. So I'll be looking forward to reading more about Jack Kirby in Alter Ego number 170. This month looks like it's going to be a little bit bigger than average stack of comic books, but it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun issues to read. Thank you, John, for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium, and I look forward to listening to everyone else's clips. I hope everyone stays safe and healthy out there as we continue to overcome this pandemic, and let's all take care of each other out there.
I hope everybody was able to find something of interest in the previews catalog this month. Hopefully this episode helped out on that. I have not had a chance to go through and kind of put together my initial cut of the order, so I'm not sure what that's shaping up to be like at the moment. I do want to thank everyone who sent in clips, so thank you Billy, Chris, James, Marvin, Mo, and Patrick. And again, we only had about 6 people, but they did a heck of a job sending a ton of clips, but I'd love to get a lot more voices and a lot more vantage points and opinions and stuff in these episodes. We do have an open submission policy, and send in clips as often as you can. If it's just one or two every other month or something, that's fine. But I'd like to get some more voices in here and hear what you guys have to say. Because this is how I find about new comics too, and this is how I kind of expand my reading list. And as I've talked about with James on the Monthly Comics Spotlight, I'm not getting a whole lot from the back half, and honestly, there's not a ton that's exciting me from, you know, a couple of the major publishers these days. So again, I'm open to some new suggestions and stuff, so please send in clips and give me some thoughts. I am excited about a couple of things coming out. As I mentioned, the New Age of Heroes stuff. There's a couple of items from DC that are looking interesting, but honestly, only a couple. It was a little hard for me to find some picks I could really kind of get behind this month. But hopefully, like I said, everybody's finding stuff they're interested in, and we'll send in clips next month and continue doing so moving forward. So with that, we'll call it an episode. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.